Hey, thanks for leading us. It's great. Well, I oftentimes have compared our services to a football game. And we have that time in the beginning when we get fired up for the game. We do. We praise the Lord in the song, and we invite the Spirit to overflow us, the Holy Spirit that's within us. He dwells in us. We want him to just burst forth in us. And so we sing out his praises. And that's very much like the first quarter of a football game. And everybody's excited. They're fired up. And then you get into kind of a routine. And I oftentimes liken that to our receiving of a collection, our having communion, those things that the early church did as an act of worship to the Lord. And most teams get into kind of a groove in the second quarter. And then the third quarter, man, you get down to the nitty-gritty. It can turn a game. And I liken that to the reading of God's Word, as I'm going to share it right now. And I know all of you read the Bible yourselves, but man, there's something special about reading the Word together as a church. And then there's that fourth quarter, sometimes the most exciting part of the game. And I think that's what happens when my reading finishes, we pray, and then you spend time together. Sometimes the most exciting things happen after I'm reading the Word and sharing a bit, as you come together as the body of Christ. And so don't miss out on the fourth quarter. Don't rush out of church. And I'll tell you, Tina and I were guilty of that for years. We were so busy that we would go to services at Calvary Chapel Escondido, and man, we loved the church, but we had to get our kids, we had to get home, and we were exhausted, honestly. So I encourage you to get rejuvenated with the fourth quarter. Don't rush out. Now, we got some treats today. It's Valentine's Day's coming up, so we got some cupcake, kind of Valentine motif, some cookies. We got some fair to pour coffee. But you know what? It's going to be good because you're going to enjoy each other's company. So please don't miss out on that. So with that, I'm going to catch you up. If you weren't here last week, we are journeying through the Gospel of Mark. It's very fast-paced. It's very holistic. It doesn't get into the details much, but man, it moves quick. And it covers a lot of territory in a very short amount of time. As the first three chapters are on the works of Jesus. Man, he is busy doing the work of the Father. And he says, hey, even on Sunday, my Father's at work, I'm at work. Or for them, it was Saturday, the Sabbath day. And so we're excited to be here on this Sunday. And again, Jesus Christ, the center of our time. But he took a little break in the fourth chapter, shared a parable of the sower. Again, speaking of how the Word of God is sown and scattered, and there are four types of hearts that the seed falls on. The first is a hardened heart, a heart that's been trampled upon that the Word of God doesn't even have a chance to sink into. And Jesus says the birds of the air come and just pluck it out. And the birds are always symbolic in the Bible, usually in a parable, of the devil or Satan. They're not the cute little chirpy things that we think of. But man, when the birds come and snatch it away, hey, the devil likes nothing more than to get you distracted and say, you know what, don't listen to that guy. He doesn't know what he's saying. Just go on with your routine. And that's one of those hearts. The second heart was the seed that fell on rocky soil. And lots of rocks, the seed, it seems like it sprung up for a second. It was emotional. It had a reaction. But then, man, didn't have a chance. It had no roots. It died immediately. Then there was that seed that took root in soil that was surrounded by weeds and thistles and thorns. And it sprung up. But then the thorns choked out any maturity of the plant. And what a sad life it is to have a saved soul and a wasted life. It happens. It happens. And then there was that fourth soil that was good soil. It was already broken up. It was ready to receive the Word of God. And man, sometimes it takes some breaking up in our lives. Something real bad has to happen where you say, Lord, I got nothing to stand on. Would you help me? And Jesus says, I've been waiting for this. Boom. The seed of God's Word hits your heart. It sprouts and it brings forth an abundance. It produces good fruit. So that was last week, Jesus sharing about that. And then he ends the chapter as he speaks about a storm that was raging across the Sea of Galilee. And again, you think, well, how can a lake have a storm? How can there be waves on the lake? Well, again, this lake, the Sea of Galilee, is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. It's like a mini ocean. So when the wind blows through the canyons, man, the water gets very turbulent. And the disciples found themselves in a boat with Jesus. It was taking on water. The sails were getting battered. It was sinking. And they woke Jesus up and said, Jesus, don't you care? We're sinking. We're going down. And Jesus, after a good slumber, you know, after a day of casting out demons and healing people, he's tired. He wakes up. And he says to the wind and the waves, peace, be still. And that word means be muzzled. And Jesus uses the same word today when he muzzles the unclean spirit of this man possessed by a demon. Be muzzled. Jesus' words are powerful. That's why we give a great place to the teaching of God's word in our services, because my words don't save anybody. This church can't save anybody, but Jesus Christ saves people. He does. And this week when I was sharing with some people, sowing some seed, the two responses I got from two guys were, one, yeah, I go to church. And the second one was, well, do you know the state I live in? Of course I believe in God. Those were my two responses. He didn't live in California. He wasn't from there, that's for sure. And I had to say, hey, man, the church doesn't save you. Your state can't save you. Jesus Christ, he can save you. And so people have a lot of default answers. They like to go to their religion or their church or their mom who went to church, and she prays for me. And I said, hey, if your mom's praying for you, why not answer today? Let this be the day that your mom's prayers are answered and you come to Jesus. That would be a great thing. Now, we come to this place in Matthew chapter 5. They've made it to the other side. And by the way, Jesus, after they woke him up and he said, peace be still, he said, why are you so fearful? Why do you have no faith? And again, Jesus, when he says something, he means it. He says what he meant. How do you ever say that? Meant what he said. And when he says we're going to go to the other side, we're going to go there. When he says I will never leave you or forsake you, he'll never leave you or forsake you. When he says he's the way, the truth, and the life, he is the way. He's not one of many ways. He's the way and the truth and the life. And so let's hold on to Jesus' words as we come to Mark chapter 5, as they come to the other side of the sea. So, Lord, bless the reading of your word one more time. God, Jesus, help us, Lord, understand your word, ingest it, and then to share it with others. God, help us to be bold and courageous and loving with a lost and dark and dying world. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 5. Then they, Jesus and the disciples, came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And this is the area that today they would call the Golan Heights, made famous in the Yom Kippur War of 1973, when Syria attacked Israel October 6th, and they were vastly outnumbered. But man, they held their ground, and they pushed the Syrians back. And once again, God's hand was on Israel. 2,400 Israelis died, terribly sad. 14,000 Syrians died. Israel loses 50 tanks. Syria loses 500 tanks. And again, this happens in this area of the Gadarenes, the Golan Heights, which is like a bowl. As we think about Super Bowl, this area where the battle was a bowl. And so will be the Valley of Megiddo one day when that battle of all battles will happen, but that's for another time. But Jesus, they go to the other side of the sea, 3 to 6 miles from where they were before, Capernaum. They go across. Let me tell you, paddling a boat, 3 to 6 miles, that's rough. We tried that in Lake Tahoe. My daughter, Cecilia, and I, we get in the kayak. We try to go from South Lake Tahoe over to Emerald Bay. Oh, my goodness. It's a battle the whole way. We just give up. We say, you know, let's go back. But these guys make it to the other side. And so they're in this place, the Gadarenes. If you think about Lake Tahoe, this is like Zephyr Cove, if you know Lake Tahoe. It's in that area there. Verse 2, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, the cemetery, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. And again, even the demons, they recognize Jesus. They tremble at him. He says, don't torment me. And Jesus, in another place, in John, the Gospel of John, he speaks about Satan, and he says, he has nothing to do with me. Man, they are mutually exclusive. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. They cannot coexist in any way. And so this demon cries out to him. And again, it's a man, but he's possessed by a demon. So the will of the man is battling with the will of the demon, and he's tormented. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So this guy was on the cutting edge. He identifies in the plural. He says, it's we, I'm we. You know, so I guess he's a pioneer in that area. But anyway, he answered, said, my name is Legion, we are many. And he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Verse 11, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And that place today is known as Swine Lake. Swan Lake? Anyway, that's bad, I know. But anyway, no, that's not true. So they ran into the sea, and that's what happened. To this day, you can go there. You can go to this place. There's a steep cliff, and it might well be the place where these swine ran over the cliff. And some people say, why did he do that? These poor little innocent pigs. Why would he let that happen? Well, in that area, that was an illegal trade. That is forbidden by the Mosaic law to eat pork, but also to make money off selling pork. So there was this herd of swine that should not have been there. So Jesus kills two birds or two pigs with one stone, and he takes care of business. He casts out the demon, and then he gets rid of this illegal swine trade there. And so they jump off the cliff, and again, it was, as some pastors have said, it was the first time people had deviled ham. That's bad. That's so bad. I'm going to give up. Now I'm stopped. I'm going to stop. So those, this is verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Verse 15, then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word today, God, the portion of the Gospel of Mark. God, help us now to meditate on your word, to consider what just happened. And God, to let it affect our very lives, Lord Jesus, to affect the way we think about you, Jesus. Let it build our faith, God, that we would want to go and share the good news of Jesus, that he died for our sins and rose again for our salvation, Lord, our eternity. Help us not be ashamed or afraid, but help us to go, Lord Jesus. Just like you sent this guy out to go back to his home, to Decapolis, Lord, help us to have, again, the courage, the love to go back to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our strangers, Lord, in town, to share the good news. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, unless you've been living under a rock for the past month, this is Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe you didn't know that. It's Super Bowl 58, to be exact. And this word, Super Bowl, focuses on a bowl, a game that was originally played in a stadium that looked like a bowl. That's why it's called a bowl game. And most would say that the first official bowl game called a bowl game was the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. 1932, they took that name. Now, they'll tell you they've been playing since 1902, but That was the original bowl. It was a game between two teams who were supposed to be the best teams in college football, and they would play each other. And after that game in 1932, other teams saw how much money they made in Pasadena and how popular and how important those teams were. And so that same year, four other bowls began. That was the Sugar Bowl in Louisiana, the Cotton Bowl in Texas, the Orange Bowl in Florida, and the Sun Bowl again in Texas, in El Paso. Now, last year, there were 43 bowl games, 43 kind of championship games for those teams that had a record above 5-5, I guess. You know, I mean, every team goes to the bowl. I remember Nick was playing it for Julian, and they were like 2-8. But Coach White said, oh, no, we still got a chance. We're going to that game. And I think your dad, Joe, said, we're not going to any bowl game. We're not going to any game. We're 2-8. But, you know, people love to play in the games that are after the regular season. Being the Super Bowl, super, means that it's over and above, higher in quality, higher in quantity, greater in degree than any other football game. It's the Super Bowl. It's in addition to the regular games. It's added on to the other games. It's superior in status, so they say, the Super Bowl. And it surpasses all other bowls in fame and fortune and followings. As a matter of fact, the average ticket price for a seat in Allegiant Stadium 2 days ago was $8,300. And that's like the highest you can sit. Because 2 weeks ago, when the tickets were still kind of hot, they were $12,300. And if you want to buy, if you want your family to sit in the box seats or the suites, you know, where Taylor Swift and Donna Kelsey hopefully are going to be sitting today, it's $1,800,000. Almost $2 million to get a seat, get a suite. That's why Travis Kelsey's mom said, I'm not going to be sitting in there. I don't have that kind of money. But I'm sure, you know, Travis's girlfriend would probably buy a little suite, I'm sure. But anyway, that's beyond the point. If you're here right now, you're not going to be one of those people. You're obviously going to be one of the 110 million people. Well, maybe you're not. Some of you will be one of the 110 million people who will watch the game. Some of you just abhor football. You say, I'm never going to watch it again. That's fine. But there's about 110 million people who still say, I'm watching the game. And there's going to be about, I would say, ten times that as far as money's made on the game. Now, that's enough of those statistics. I have some good news for you. This is as of last year. As of last year, statistics show that 115,600,000 people are going to attend church today in our country. 115,600,000 people. And another 68,000 are going to watch church on TV today. Now, that's good news. We hear all the time that the church is dying in America, that Christians are, you know, it's a postmodern Christian era. Not so. This is almost two-thirds of the population of the country. If you think about America being about 340 million and about 200,000, it's maybe not quite two-thirds. But that's a big number. And if you think about our Super Sunday, which we call Easter, man, it's going to exceed 200 million by far. And so the conclusion is we crush the Super Bowl when it comes to being in church. And that's good news. That's where the clap, I think. Okay, you crush it. Now, in today's reading, I'm tying it in somehow. You know I'm going to tie it in. In today's reading, we see something that is also quite super. It is over and above, higher in quantity and quality or degree. And it is called what you would call the supernatural. And supernatural, what some people call the paranormal, the supernatural is defined as an event or a manifestation, a demonstration, a revelation attributed to some factors beyond scientific understanding. It defies logic. It defies the laws of nature, space, time, and matter, gravity. It's supernatural. It's above and beyond natural. It's greater than what is natural. And this supernatural activity occurs as soon as Jesus steps off the boat and he meets this man possessed by a demon. And most people think about the supernatural as demonic activity. And I'll tell you what, in our country, and I didn't share this with the first service, you would be safe to say that America is obsessed with what they would call the supernatural. Sam Brown, the editor of Cambridge University's official magazine, wrote an article called Spooky. And he said this about American culture. He said the supernatural is embedded in our culture and has been normalized in consumer culture. In the past, the supernatural was used to explain the unexplainable. Medieval witchcraft denunciations were a way of excluding the mentally ill. Today, however, our paranormal obsession is defined through human nature. Engaging with supernatural thrillers allows a fantastic escape from a reality that is just too rational. And he continues. He says, in our increasing non-religious society, the spiritual and superstitious elements of life that we previously relied on to give existence an objective meaning have been degraded and rationalized. Many of us hang on to certain superstitions and rituals. But he says this, the supernatural, as expressed in modern film, television, and literature, is a way of re-injecting rational life with the excitement of the unnatural and unexplainable, providing a route out of our own mundane daily routine. And he says this, the supernatural has always had a presence in Hollywood, and recent shows suggest that paranormal is still garnering enough viewers to draw large investments. Such shows play clearly upon the common motif of the generic individual finding both purpose and confidence, get this, through conflict with a supernatural evil. Now, money talks. And as we talked about statistics for the Super Bowl, movies made in 2023 described as horror or supernatural or paranormal took in close to $900 million. They were just 100,000 or 100 million short of a billion. That was just in the U.S. alone. As I looked in what's in store for 2024, I found a range of movies from one about a woman returning to her childhood home to find out that her imaginary childhood friend she used to love as a little girl is now very angry and bitter with her. And he's not a friend anymore, he's a fiend, imaginary. And there's another one that is all about a dark force that lurks in the forest of Ireland. And it preys upon artists that are painting the forest. And then, of course, 2024 is going to have a remake of the original Exorcist. They said it's time now. It's been 40 years or 50 years. 50 years. And we got to bring it back now. And Hollywood tries to tame supernatural activity that's demonic. And in this encounter that Jesus has with this demon-possessed man, you're going to see supernatural activity that is of the kingdom of God and supernatural activity that is the kingdom of darkness. They are opposed to each other. And again, we think about those friendly pictures of Satan that are put through things like, you know, Bewitched, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Charmed, Vampire Diaries, WandaVision even. Certainly, Harry Potter's got a good dose of spells and incantations and things like that. And so these are sanitized versions of occult activity that the Bible forbids. Man, it does. Just like when Jesus goes to the cemetery, don't miss this. He doesn't go into a cemetery like we go to now that has benches and fountains and music is playing. The cemeteries of that day were not kept up. They were rough, and they say that pieces of bodies would stick out from the graves. Imagine that. You go to a cemetery, and you go to visit your uncle, and his arm is sticking out of the grave. That's what they were like back then. They didn't keep them up. And so Jesus goes to this place that is raw. And demonic activity is raw. You cannot tame Satan. You cannot do it. All you can do is cast him out. And like I told the campers, and again, we have a Christian camp where kids have been abused. The campers, a lot of them are very infatuated with the occult. And oftentimes the people who abuse them were into the occult. And they use drugs, which is the word, the Bible uses it says pharmakia or fornication, using drugs to bring them closer to the dark world. And their parents did this, then they abused them. And some of these kids were exposed to incantations, channeling spirits, playing with tarot cards, certainly having a Ouija board, and calling the psychic hotline. And so these kids said, hey, Tony, is that like bad? You know, can I do that stuff? I said, don't do it, man, because you're playing with fire. You're going to invite those things into your life, and man, they're going to hold on to your back like a monkey. And they're not going to let go easily. And I want to say before we go on in this teaching, this time, a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon in no way. John the Apostle said, light and darkness cannot dwell together. They cannot coexist. He who has the Spirit of God cannot have a spirit of a demon inside him. It does not work that way. But a Christian can be harassed and oppressed, but not possessed. There's no room for a demon inside of us. No way. But you're probably a target of some of that activity because you're spreading the gospel. You're trying to share Jesus Christ with others to set them free from the grip of Satan. And so you may be harassed. You might go through trials and tribulations. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, on this world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to go through some tough times. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus says, I've got that handled. So we'll go through tribulation with a small t. We'll never go through the great tribulation. That is the wrath of God poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. And Paul says, we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. We don't got to worry about this. So when you read this story, please don't get freaked out and say, I think I have a demon. Please help me, God. No. Man, if you're praying to God and you know Jesus Christ, you don't have a demon. Hey, if you've rejected Jesus Christ and you have heard the gospel and you push him away, hey, you're opening yourself up to the kingdom of darkness, no doubt about it. So be careful. Don't play with fire. So going on from there, we see supernatural activity in the Bible from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:20. When God says, and I believe it was Jesus, because John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then you go fast forward, and the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. So Jesus was there in creation. And so you think about supernatural activity. When Jesus says, let there be light, let there be land, man, that's supernatural. You cannot explain that with science. You cannot they completely oppose spontaneous generation. You can't make something from nothing. But yet, the Bible says that God spoke it into existence. And again, there it was, light, land, and life. And then you go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, and Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming back. And there's going to come a day, the Bible says, that transcends space and time when Jesus Christ calls his church that's left on the earth up to heaven. And it's going to be supernatural. It's called the snatching away. And we are going to, if we're still alive, we're going to defy gravity as Jesus calls us up. How can I say that? Because in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascends into heaven and the disciples are looking up there, the angels come and say, why are you looking up? Why are you looking up there? The same way that he went up is the same way he's going to come down and meet you. He's going to come in the clouds. And so that's going to be very supernatural. It's very biblical. That is not an unbiblical thing, the rapture. And it's very supernatural. So I want you to think that, yes, there is supernatural that is of darkness, but there is supernatural activity that is of God, the kingdom of God. It's beyond what can be explained. You read the Bible, you go to the parting of the Red Sea, you go to the place where Elijah calls down fire from heaven and roasts the prophets of Baal. You go to Sodom and Gomorrah, God rains down fire. But you also go to the New Testament and you see Jesus turning water into wine, healing the leper, healing the blind man. That's supernatural. And that's by the Spirit of God. And so our Bible is full of supernatural things. As a matter of fact, usually on Halloween, I share, if it's close to Sunday, this 10 scary stories from the Bible. You're not going to get scarier stories than what's in the Bible. And some of that is terrifying. But you can rest, because that is not of you. But there is supernatural activity in the Bible. Again, all you got to do is think of Jonah. He's like the original fish house. I mean, you know, he's living in the fish for 3 days, and he comes out. That's supernatural. You can't explain that. God prepared a fish, the Bible says, for Jonah, for that moment. And Jesus talks about it. He talks about Noah. He talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. So if Jesus talks about it in the Old Testament, it happened. Believe me, it happened. And I'll tell you, we are fresh off a very supernatural activity. People don't think about it that way, but Christmas is supernatural. As the Virgin, Mary, is conceived by the Holy Spirit, gives birth to Jesus, who is the God-man. He's God and man. That is beyond logic. That is beyond nature for that to happen. But that testifies of Jesus Christ being born without sin, born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. That's supernatural. That's more supernatural than anything Halloween has to offer us. So if you're into that stuff, if you're into fantasy and paranormal and horror, read the Bible. You can never exhaust what's in here. It's adventure, it's romance, and it is definitely supernatural. You haven't read it, read it. So Jesus, of course, goes on, and he meets this demon-possessed man, and immediately he casts out the demon. He uses the same words. The same word. I'm looking for my water. I'm using the same words. We got water. I can say, I'll take your water. Anybody's water. Wait, there it is. I got. Never mind. Going so fast, I'm getting a dry mouth. You know? Jesus cast out this demon with the same words he used to calm the sea. Okay, he says, "Be out of him. Be muzzled. Muzzle it." That's why some commentators say that the stormy sea that Jesus said, "Be still, be muzzled," might have been conjured up demonically. And so he uses the same word for the sea as he does for the man to cast out the demon. The things that Jesus did, this separates him from the paranormal. The things that Jesus did by the Spirit of God are called signs and wonders and miracles. They are not demonic in any way. And John, Peter, and Paul, all the apostles, make it very clear that the miracles that they do, the power they receive from the Holy Spirit, is done for the glory of God and to call attention to Jesus. So if you hear about you open the newspaper, it says, "Come see Apostle Bill casting out demons, levitating a woman, and all for $25. And you'll be blessed." And don't go. Anybody who calls attention to themselves because they're performing a miracle, they're a charlatan. They're out for their own gain. But John the Apostle said this. He ended his gospel with this. He says, "And Jesus did many other miracles." And he says, "We couldn't even contain them. But these miracles were written that you might believe, and that by believing, you may have life in the name of the Son of God." John says, the reason you saw the miracles was to call you to Jesus, to bring you to Jesus. Miracles, signs, and wonders are not the same as levitation, Ouija boards, tarot cards, demonic activity. Those things are of the devil. They're of the devil. And I would encourage you to avoid those things. But Jesus cast out the demon of this man, and this man is made whole. He's in his right mind. He's sitting. He's in clean clothes. And you would think that people would be so amazed and so fired up about that. But the guys who saw this happen and saw Jesus put the spirits into the pigs, the demons into the pigs, said, "Jesus, get out of here. We don't want you here. You're ruining our business." And I would say even today that this idea still happens. There's people who would rather save their industry, save their cause, over saving the life of a preborn baby. There's people who will raise a banner for the spotted toad, yet they devalue human life. And yet there's this man sitting and clothed in his right mind. And Jesus brought peace to him. And he says, "Jesus, can I stay with you?" He says, "No. Go home and tell your friends the great things that God has done for you." And that's what happened to us too. When I came to Christ at 16 years old, at Calvary Chapel, man, I wanted just to pitch a tent and stay there. But this is so good. I was so dirty and perverted, man. Now I'm saved and I'm clean. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go back to my school because those guys are going to ask me again to do the things I used to do. They're going to tell me to skip class and do that stuff instead. I don't know if I can resist that, God. Please help me. But I had to go back to my school. I had to go back to my house. And the first person I shared Jesus with was my dad. Then my friends, who thought I was joking. I thought I'd be back with them next week, skipping class and doing those things that had taken over me. But I didn't. God gave me the power to resist those things. And he'll give you the power too. This song, we're going to end with this song. And it's of a man named Bob Bennett. And in 1989, I was going through a really tough time, really hard time. I was hitting rock bottom. And this song ministered to me because I honestly felt kind of dead. And this song speaks about the story we just read. It's called Man of the Tombs. And I was so glad to meet this guy about 10 years after he wrote the song. He's a big guy. I mean, he's like a house. And you're going to see that. I don't know how he can play the guitar because he's just a giant guy. But he plays the guitar beautifully. And this song kind of sums up Jesus setting this man free from a life really of walking dead. And so I'm going to pray. And I'm going to let you listen to this. And we're going to end our time there. But if you are feeling harassed, you're a Christian, you feel harassed, or that Satan is just oppressing you, pressing on you, hey, I'd love to pray with you. Joe can pray with you, you know? Emily can pray with you. We're going to be available for that. But let me just say, if you are a Christian, you are not possessed in any way. But maybe you've entertained darkness. You've opened yourself up by playing, you know, playing with the Ouija board, playing with tarot cards, whatever. Hey, that gives a little in. It gives it a little hold that Satan wants to mess with you. So I would pray, I will pray now, that grip will be broken if that grip is on you. If you've never come to Jesus Christ, hey, you ought to be afraid because you have no protection. The Holy Spirit is not within you. Man, you're open to a lot of things. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to let the Holy Spirit come in you by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And then our ushers are going to take an offering, receive an offering. We're not going to take it from anybody. We're going to receive it. If you want to give it, great. If not, that's fine. But let's pray. And then Obi, we'll play that song. So thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, for the time you've given us, Lord. It's a very short time. As fast as I could talk, Lord, I couldn't get it in. So Jesus, more than my words, Lord Jesus, your words reign supreme. You have the super words, Lord. You are the super Savior, God. Nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody. Jesus, I'm praying that if there's anybody here that's a Christian that is being oppressed, being hassled, that Satan's trying to get in your head, Lord, we want to say in the name of Jesus that that demon would just be cast out, Lord Jesus. That demon would lose its grip on whoever that is. And your name is mighty, Jesus. Your name is mighty. God, please bring relief to that person. And Lord, if there's anybody here worried about their salvation, and they know they've never called out to you, Jesus, I pray they would do it now. They would pray a prayer like this: Dear Jesus, forgive me. I have rejected you. I have ridiculed you even. Even though I went to church and my parents talked to me about you, Lord, or some my friend did, I did not receive you. But now, Jesus, I want to receive you. It scares me to think about my soul being open to demonic activity, Lord, so I don't want that to happen. So now, out of fear, out of love, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I turn away from my sins. I believe that what you did on the cross was for me. So Jesus, I receive the covering of your blood, Lord. You died for my sins, Lord. You rose again for my guarantee of my eternity. So Jesus, I open my heart to you. And Lord, please let me know that there's no room for demons in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm born again, and now help me to grow. Help me to go. Open my Bible, Lord Jesus. Go to my friends and pray with them. Sing a song that is not about darkness and death, but about life. Thank you, Jesus. God, help us to go. In your name, Jesus, to share the gospel, to scatter the seed. Give us strength and courage and love. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us an abundance. And God, we want to help Chrissy Onderstall. We want to help the Holsklaws. We want to help Dan and Nat Tisdale. We want to help the Hibero family to scatter seed in Brazil and China and Thailand and Africa. So God, we give now. We give of our finances for the furtherance of your kingdom, for the gospel to be spread throughout the whole world until you come again. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. We pray in your name. Amen. Hey, as Obi shares this, again, 11:10, if you need prayer, please receive prayer, but take a moment. This is 5 minutes long. Listen, and then stick around too.
Tombs is about the Gadarene demoniac. His story is told in a couple different versions in the Gospels, and you can certainly look up the original renderings there. But in this song, I wanted to catch some of the details, but I wanted to concentrate on what is really the end of this man. At the end of the sequence, all of the insanity was gone. He was dressed, he was seated, he was in his right mind and seated with Jesus. Folks, that's really the end game of what we're after. In all the insanity of life and sometimes the disquietude that we have inside ourselves, we're just looking for a rational, clear moment, dressed in the clean clothes that he gives us, as close to him as we can possibly be. So in a sense, very much so, his story can be our story. In a place where no one goes, and he tears at himself and lives with a pain that no one knows. He counts himself dead among the living. He knows no mercy and no in the night, he's driven to cry out loud. Can you hear him cry out loud? Man of the tombs, possessed by an unseen enemy, he breaks every chain, mistakes his freedom for being free. Shame and shamelessness equally there, like a random toss of a coin in the air. Man of the tombs, he's driven to cry out loud underneath this thing that curse the womb, I bless the grave. I've lost my heart, I could not be saved. Like those who fear me, I'm afraid. Like those I've heard, I can feel pain. Naked now before my sin, and these stones that cut against my skin. Some try to touch me, but no one can. For man of the tombs I am. Down at the shoreline, two sets of footprints meet. One voice is screaming, other voice begins to speak. And only a moment and only a word, the evil departs like a thundering herd. Man of the tombs, he hears this cry out loud. Underneath this thing that you've become, I see a man of flesh and blood. I give you life beyond the grave. I heal your heart, I come to save. No need to fear, be not afraid. This man of sorrows knows your pain. I come to take away your sin and bear its marks upon my skin. When no one can touch you, still I can. For Son of God I am. Dressed now and seated, clean in spirit and healthy of mind. Man of the tombs, he begs to follow but must stay behind. He'll return to his family with stories to tell of mercy and madness, heaven and hell. Man of the tombs, soon he will cry out loud. Underneath this thing that I once was, now I'm a man of flesh and blood. I have a life beyond the grave. I found my heart, I can now be saved. No need to fear, I am not afraid. This man of sorrows took my pain. He comes to take away our sin and bear its marks upon his skin. I'm telling you this story because man of the tombs I was. Man of the tombs I was.
Bob was here. That's a testimony. Man of the tombs I was. And Bob Bennett would share that, and he went through times like that. And so great song, great encouragement to us. And again, Ken's going to come and share announcements. If you are in need of prayer, don't rush out. Came to Christ today, you said, yes, Jesus, don't rush out. Tell somebody. If you have to pick up your kids, go rush down now. You can go get it now. As Ken's sharing his announcements, you're welcome to do that.
All right, not too many announcements this morning. Remember to look at the celebration page, see whose birthday and anniversary is upcoming. You can wish them a happy day. Also, Global Recording Network's Five Fish app is on there, the link to that. You can download that. You can hear Bible stories and messages in 6,700 languages. So I'm guessing there's going to be at least one language that you don't know among those 6,700. Thank you to all those who helped with the Marvelous Marriage Monday last Monday. Stay tuned for another one coming up in the springtime. Thank you to cleaning crew number 2 for cleaning the building this week, making it nice for us. Youth Midweek Bible Study has been moved to Tuesday evenings from 6:30 to 8 here at the church. Friday nights have been put on hold temporarily. You can call Nick or Danae for more details on when that will begin again. Then Women's Tuesday Evening Bible Study with Tina is going to start this Tuesday, February the 13th, 6:30 p.m., studying the shelter of God's promises. You can sign up in the back, pick up your book today. And then Uni's Bible Study covering Genesis, chapters 24 to 50, will begin on Wednesday from 1 o'clock to 2:30 here at the church as well. So join one or both of those Bible studies, and you will be blessed by that. Hopefully we'll have one for the men sometime. I'm not sure, but maybe, yeah. All right. Let's see. Thanks to all the volunteers who are helping with the playground out back. The replacement parts that we are waiting on have arrived, so we'll begin finishing that up here in the upcoming week or so as soon as it dries out a little bit. So that's all the announcements that I have. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Remember to stop in the back afterwards and get some goodies and yummy whatever they are is back there. If you see any chocolate chip cookies, remember, those are probably poisonous. Don't eat those. I will take care of them and dispose of them. Please do not risk it and eat any of those. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the good message. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word and to apply it to our lives. Lord, we ask that you'd use the message to help us to make the changes that you'd have us to make to be drawn closer to you. Give us safety as we go our ways this week. Bring us back next Sunday to our places. In Jesus' name, amen.
One last thing. Would you share that real quick? From Terry.
One last thing.
From Terry. She works at the...
Oh, yeah. Terry works at the Creation and Earth History Museum, and she has some flyers here for some activities for the kids. Living fossils. And we will put those on the back table back there. And if you have kids, or if you don't have kids, but you just are interested in creation and history, you'll want to go take advantage of that. It's down just off the 67 down there. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Well, I already prayed, so you are dismissed.
City lights all around me, everyone's obscure, 10 million people, each with their problems. Why should anyone care?